Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy,
where we're expanding the conversation around Catholic sexuality.
We're your hosts, Ellen and Kathleen. Hey there, this week is your last opportunity to get the pre-sale deal for the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community that we are launching on June 15th, 2023. So if you are listening to this in real time, this is your last chance to get half off for 6 months. The Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community is a way to connect with you guys, our listeners, on a more personal level, and also a way that you can support the podcast. In the community, you are going to get the full video recordings of every episode. You are also going to get a monthly live Q&A session, as well as a bunch of other fun bonuses that are only in the Charting Toward Intimacy exclusive community. When you get in there on June 15th, there's going to be a little surprise for you from Kathleen and I, which I'm really excited about. So get that pre-sale deal, only $15 for 6 months. Normally the cost is going to be $5 a month. So it's super inexpensive and it's a way to support the podcast. We really appreciate your support so that we can continue creating quality content for you. Get that link in the show notes. All right. Welcome back to another Charting Toward Intimacy episode. I'm Ellen, and today we have with us Dr. Sarah Bartel. Kathleen's not with us today, so we have a super special guest here. Sarah, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. It's so great to talk with you. Such a joy.
I love having Sarah on the podcast because she has just this wealth of knowledge to share. It's awesome. If you haven't listened to the other two episodes that Sarah was on the podcast, they are Licit and Illicit Acts Part 1 and Part 2. We had to do a Part 2 because we had so many more questions that came up after we did Part 1. And yeah, those are some of the most listened to episodes of this podcast. So please go and listen to those if you haven't seen those.
Those were really fun to record.
Yeah, those were super fun. We might need to like revisit because I have new questions that people have come to me with. So yeah, maybe we'll do a part three.
Yes, I'm here for it. You bet.
But today we are going to be talking about why working on your marriage as a whole improves your sex life. And also probably talking about it from the other direction too, of how like you can't really improve your sex life without also like working on your marriage as a whole, without also improving your marriage as a whole.
It's like a prerequisite. You know, yes. If you want to make any progress and help things get better in the bedroom, you have to, like, it's not going to work unless you're able to have really good communication, unless your emotional connection is really strong and you have a good level of trust. You know, all those things need to be in place.
Exactly. And I can't even remember exactly where I heard this first, but I feel like I see it a lot, is that like sex is a reflection of your relationship.
Yes.
Do you want to speak into that a little bit more, Sarah?
Yeah. I believe Dr. Gregory Popchak has that in his Holy Sex.
That's probably where I heard it first.
But yeah, but he absolutely says what happens in the bedroom, the quality of your sex life is just a reflection of or a barometer of your relationship as a whole. If you have problems in your relationship, broadly speaking, they're definitely going to be showing up in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's really key because it's like the incarnation, the embodiment of our relationship as a whole. So when we bring our bodies together, you know, things are going to work well or not work well, you know, in large part based on how everything else is going between each other. And it's not, I would not say like universally. There are some instances where, you know, maybe there's like a specific situation and the relationships couple, the couple has a great relationship in general, and there is like some society or technical difficulty or something, but it's because the relationship is good already that then they're able to go and address specific challenges and issues.
Right. Yeah. Well, And I like what you said about how like sex is the embodiment of the relationship. Something I talk to women a lot about is the fact that like sex is the physical manifestation of our wedding vows. When we get married, we answer those questions of consent.
Yes.
That are basically asking, you know, are we entering into this marriage freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully? That's what those questions of consent are pointing toward. And we say those with we answer those questions, yes, with our words at the wedding ceremony. And then in the bedroom, we answer those questions with our bodies. That's why things like, you know, contraception are not okay, because we're like answering no to one of those questions that is fundamental to our marriage. But I really liked the your wording there of just embodiment. It is the embodiment of our relationship. It is the embodiment of our marriage vows. That's what's happening in the bedroom. And it's not isolated from the rest of our marriage. Like if you're not communicating well about, you know, who's picking up the kids from soccer practice and somebody keeps getting left there for 20 minutes until you go, oh no.
And there's resentment.
And there's resentment about not picking up and stuff like that. You're not going to just like be able to shut those off and have great sex. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That sex is the body language of the wedding vows. And I think we forget that we continue to live out our vows day in and day out. It was not just a one-shot deal at the altar on your wedding day, but you are choosing each day, you know, how you're living out your vows and giving yourself to each other and receiving the other and sharing yourself. Yeah. In all your interactions and the ways that you relate to each other as you carry out the work of householding and marriage and love and, you know, the less glamorous romantic stuff, but that still is part of your living out your vows and writing the story, the love story of your specific marriage. Yeah. And then when you hit the sheets, all of that is sort of crystallized.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's just, it's when you and your spouse work on your marriage in some concrete way, naturally, without even like focusing on it, your sex life is going to get better. Like without even realizing it, that's just a natural thing. And I think that's something that we don't like recognize sometimes because, we're maybe like thinking more concretely about the thing that we're working on in our marriage, but that is what happens, very naturally because of this reflection of the relationship that's happening within the marital act within between the sheets, right?
Yes. And I have, now that I actually have been running a sex class for Catholic women, for the last year, have had two groups of women go through now, after years of doing marriage ministry, more broadly speaking, it's been so interesting. I have stories now of women in the classes where, you know, we're just focusing specifically on improving lovemaking for Catholic wives in my Delight class. But then there are some wives where I'm like, oh my goodness, you really need something more for your marriage because of what's going on. I have one wife who really is not satisfied about how things are going in their lovemaking, but she was telling me how she and her husband never talk. She sneaks out of bed in the morning and goes off to pray because she doesn't want to face him or deal with him. He is just leaving messes all over their common spaces in the house and gets resentful at her when she asks him to clean it up, including their bedroom. There are tools, like woodworking tools, in the bedroom. Oliver, I was like, okay, I've never heard of that before, but that is not the right place.
That is tools. Not, yeah. Wow. I mean, it's one thing to have like some clothes on the ground in the bedroom because
we can all understand.
Yeah, we understand. Like, yeah, they didn't get to the laundry room, but woodworking tools. I don't know about that.
No. And yeah, it was just really dismaying because just the level of breakdown in their communication was so strong. And I was just really trying to work with her and urge her to work on repairing those and, you know, work on undoing these patterns of resentment and negativity and avoidance that were the hallmarks of their relationship in order to clear the ground so that we could start to build and make more connection and intimacy and joy and delight happen in their lovemaking.
So, right, right.
Yeah, and this
I'm
a solid,
like, yeah, just a physical manifestation of that kind of a story where a couple is not having good sex, but there's also like a lot of issues in their relationship. I'm imagining the bed, their bed, right? Mm-hmm. And their bed is piled high with a whole bunch of other, I mean, for lack of a better term, just crap, right?
Right.
And you need to work on, you need to clean the bed off before you can have sex, because you can't have sex on top of a whole bunch of like stuff, right?
Oh yeah. And resentment and negativity and complaining and critical attitudes between spouses, mm-hmm. those really creep in. And I see, you know, the women in my courses, these are strong, faithful Catholic women. Like, these are the couples where you go to church and they've got like 8 kids in the pew, you know?
Right. And you're like, wow, like, I want to be like that family, you know, when I grow up.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know what's happening inside the walls of their home and inside the walls of their bedroom. So I just, that was really interesting to me. Like, just being strong in your faith is not enough. You also have to have good human level communication skills and warmth of intimacy and, you know, just things that people might dismiss is like, oh, that's just, you know, that's just psychology, or that, you know, like, we are strong with the magisterium and whatnot. But like, you really do also need to have these practical skills to know how to make each other feel loved, how to listen well, how to have empathy mm-hmm. and kindness and respect between each other. So that's why it's really important to spend time clearing the ground. I love that image of clearing right. off the bed.
You got
to
clean off
all that
the bed.
Yeah.
That image just totally popped into my head when you were saying that. I have to tell you, like, from personal experience, so something that my husband and I started doing it's been probably 3 months, maybe 4 months now, pretty regularly, mm-hmm. at least 2 times a week, if not like up to 4 times a week. We get up a little bit early and we sit down and we have a cup of tea together. And we just talk for a half hour in the morning, and we just connect. Aww. We could be talking about anything, right? And I'll be honest, like, if I look back just on the past couple of months, our sex life has improved as well, just because we did this tiny little step in our marriage just to connect more, to communicate more, to, you know, some days we're literally just like, so what's on the schedule for the rest of the week? What are, you know, we're just like connecting mm-hmm. about, okay, who's doing what.
But you're getting on the same page.
Right.
That's huge.
And then
that's
other
really
times,
huge.
You know, it's like, it's more, you know, hey, I'm like really struggling with this right now. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm feeling really down and upset about that. And, you know, we'll have like a kind of a deeper conversation, right? Like, it could be anything, but it's just this tiny little step that has made a massive difference. I mean, we see the ripple throughout everything, but then also in our sex life, which is why we're talking about this topic on this podcast episode, is like, working on your marriage as a whole naturally improves your sex life. It's not, you don't even have to like actively work on your sex life to improve your sex life if you don't want to, I guess.
Oh, I love that. Well, and your story of getting up and having that time to have tea with your husband and just share, whether it's about logistics so that you are not, you know, neither of you is blindsided by what's on the calendar.
Well, and that was happening, right?
And then guess what? Resentment and negativity can mm-hmm. creep in about that. Like, oh, well, I didn't know that this, you know, you had planned this. Why mm-hmm. did you decide that was important to put on the calendar or whatnot, you know, or like, you never told me about this.
Yep.
But then even the deeper sharing about your inner thoughts and feelings and struggles, that is getting to know each other. And we have to continue to get to know each other about what's going on in our inner world as husband and wife. Like, what is my husband struggling with right now? Does he know what my top concerns or joys or challenges are right now? You know, does he know how much I'm really concerned about this one child and what, you know, the situation that they're going through, and how can I help lift them up, you know, to a better spot, or how satisfied and happy and proud I am about, you know, some recent accomplishment or whatnot. But knowing each other and your inner thoughts and your sharing your heart like that helps you know each other in the biblical sense, mm-hmm. right? It's a knowing of each other that happens when we come together in lovemaking.
Right. It's no coincidence that it is called knowing in the Bible, like knowing in the biblical sense is having sex with someone. Like that is not just like a, oh, well, that was just their word for it then.
A euphemism, like, yeah. Just to be polite.
That's real. That's real knowing. Like when you, let me start this phrase over again. When you know someone really, really well, when you know your spouse really well, then sex is going to be very natural. It's going to be very intimate. It's just going to be very good, right? And when you don't know someone very well, then it's not like it's not going to be as good.
Oh, especially for us women, you know, if we haven't talked with our husband in any meaningful way for a while, and then we go to bed to make love, you know, it's almost like making love to a stranger. It's a weird thing. You know, you can't really open up and share yourself to the same degree if you don't really know them.
Right.
If they're not sharing their inner world with you.
Well, and I feel like I see that a lot, honestly, on like the, you know, the Facebook groups for Catholic women, for NFP. I see it a lot, like in my DMs, of just like, oh my gosh, like, I just feel like we, you know, my husband is just like, hey, let's have sex. And I'm like, but I haven't even talked to you. And then I hear from the other side, I hear the husbands who are like, oh my gosh, like I ask all the time and I don't, like my wife doesn't want anything. And I don't understand like why, you know, what's going on here. And it's like, well, yeah, you guys aren't, you're not on the same page. You don't talk, you don't know each other. And so therefore like sex is not going to come, it's not just going to come naturally. We actually talked about this just in the last podcast episode that we put out, is like, you can't just expect that once you hit the 5-year mark, the 10-year mark, the 20-year mark of being married, that like, okay, good, sex is going to be like good at that point. It's something you have work on. It's something
you build it together.
Yes, you build it together.
Yeah. And you know, I have a beautiful story from a woman who is in the My Delight sex class that I run for Catholic women a few months ago. And this is a wife, she and her husband have probably been married about 25 or 30 years. They have some young adult children, some teen children, some still homeschooling in the grade school years. And one thing I often recommend, especially if a wife is burnt out on sex and has been in this pattern of providing sex on demand, feeling like she can't ever say no, that she would be a bad wife for saying no, which this is not a true thing. You're not a bad wife for saying no. This is not in our church teaching. But anyway, she had been in that pattern. And so I had advised her to take a sex sabbatical, and she did. And they were several weeks into it. And it was a really sweet story. She said she and her husband were going to Costco together to run an errand. And as they were walking in and, you know, shopping, he shared a story about his childhood with her. He just told something about from when he was growing up, and her heart just softened towards him. And she just felt this flow of affection for him. And they went home and they actually had sex that night after many weeks, you know, of a hiatus. And it was really good. It was the best way for them to reconnect. I was so happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah. That's so wonderful. And that story also, I think, kind of shares the helpfulness sometimes of not having sex. I think a lot of times we complain about how NFP requires us to avoid sex for a like certain period of time on a regular basis, but there's actually so much good that can come from pausing sex and kind of reassessing, are we making sure that we are intimately connecting outside of sex so that sex is a reflection of our, you know, very close communicative relationship that we already have?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think it could be a crutch, or, you know, like a couples could end up using sex as the only way that they're intimate with each other without building all the other levels of intimacy that you want to have in place, sharing dreams, sharing memories, day-to-day logistical communication, and then deeper communication at the levels of feelings and values. And yeah, it's all important.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Sarah, can you tell us a little bit about Abundant?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So the name actually comes from the wedding at Cana, because when Jesus changed the water into wine, it was not just just barely enough wine for all the guests in attendance. It was an abundant amount of wine, just 150 to 180 gallons of wine, way more than enough for any small country Kena wedding that would be happening in Galilee.
This wedding did not need 150 gallons of wine.
Yes, they had so much wine. And God has so much grace and goodness and joy in store for us. You know, the potential for that is there in our sacramental Catholic marriages. But we really do need to fill up the jars with water. Like, we need to haul, you know, get clear out a jar, haul it over and get some water in there so Jesus can do something with it. And what we do in the course, Nathan and I like to think of ourselves as like head stewards at the wedding.
Yeah. You know,
we like to bring the materials and tools to couples so that they can fill up the jars. And so we open the course with some really fun, more lighthearted activities where you get to reconnect as a couple and remember what drew you to each other in the first place. What, why is it you fell in love with each other? We have you write a love letter to each other and we give you a structure for that. And this is really, so many couples tell us this is really meaningful and rewarding and fruitful for them to do these activities. And it's strategic. We start with good stuff. You know, we start with reminding each other what you love about each other and getting the good feelings flowing. And then we dive into the stuff that needs work. Then we work on communication skills and really assessing, do you have a pattern of criticism going on? Can you be more intentional about affirming each other and working on gratitude? And we've had couples in the course say, you know, at first, that felt really artificial to just like thank each other for things in our day. Like, thank you, honey, for taking out the trash. You are welcome. But they did it.
Robotic,
they did it. But I'm so grateful they did it and then kept repeating it. And then the same wife told us, you know what? Then it became just nice. We were both just saying really nice things to each other all the time. And this is a couple that had stopped bringing up important conversations that they needed to have about planning for the future because they were just not communicating effectively with each other at all. So I was really happy to hear that. You know, their marriage is so much better now. They can talk about the meaningful things they need to discuss to plan for their kids' education or, you know, whatever it might be, you know, it, with their lives. But yeah. And then another really important part of the course is when we look at sacramental marriage and, you know, we talk about the theology of it. Of course, I'm trained as a theologian. I love to share the theology. We go into that. But what I've learned over the years, especially even in my own marriage, is knowing the theology is not enough. It is not enough to transform your specific individual marriage. And we need to look at changing patterns of thoughts and behavior, including something that creeps up a lot in us wives, which are patterns of control. Like, how are you being controlling as a wife, maybe without even realizing it? And how can you let go and show your husband trust and respect so that he is not responding? You know how most good guys respond when a wife is being controlling? They're not jerks. They're not going to force their way in there and be like, no, it's going to be this way. They'll back off, right? Okay. Okay, that's not the right way to load the dishwasher. I did it wrong. I hear you. I'll just let you load the dishwasher because I'm doing it wrong, I guess, you know? And then later that wife's like, how come you never help with the dishwasher, right? But forgetting that she had scolded that husband as if he were a child for loading the dishwasher wrong. There are ways all of us wives can learn to be less controlling, and that really fosters intimacy. And oh, this is important in the bedroom as well. Like, there's a lot of applications.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. But it starts in the kitchen. There's another podcast episode right there.
Yes, exactly. Right? Like, because receiving is an important part of what we need to do as women, not in a passive way, not in a doormat way. Like, you still have to bring your whole self. But yeah, if you feel like, okay, this is my show, I need to run everything about this. I need to control everything to protect myself. And that's where it comes from, right? Is fear. I really think this stems back to Eve being let down by Adam. So she kind of had the, like, Adam should have stepped in and taken responsibility for protecting his wife from the big scary serpent.
Right.
Who was, you know, he's not some little garden snake. That word for serpent that shows up in Genesis, the other places that word shows up in the Bible, it's like this big giant, like, huge, scary, fearsome serpent. So he was afraid of it and kind of slinked around behind his wife. So his wife would be the one face to face with the serpent. Anyway, this is my personal theory about why
I love it.
Are more controlling. But yeah, the more that we can empower our husbands to take initiative and show that we trust them and value their contribution, the more they're likely to do things that help out around the house and that are involved in family life and in marriage, instead of retreating to areas where they feel they'll be more successful and valued, right? Like whatever that might be. Absolutely. Online, at work, with their guy friends. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And so the reason why we are talking about Abundant right now is Sarah and her husband Nathan are opening up Abundant. They only open it up at certain
times.
Once
a year. It's just once a year. These last couple of years. Yeah.
And so this is your moment, you guys. This is your chance. And so actually, if you are listening to this episode in real time, it is opening this week. So we are going to put some links in the show notes to go and check it out. Sarah and I also are going to be doing, we're going to have another conversation, a Zoom conversation. So there'll be a link to sign up for Sarah's email list. So you can get in on that Zoom conversation too later in this week on Thursday, where we're just going to be kind of, well, she and I are going to be chatting a little bit more about some other aspects of marriage. But I wanted to have Sarah on the podcast to talk about this topic and really encourage you guys to sign up for this Abundant course. It is incredible. It will change your life. It will change your marriage. And it will improve your sex life. I can like guarantee you that. So
yeah, the ripple effect is real. Absolutely. Yes. And then, yeah. And then for those who are in Abundant, one of the bonuses Nathan and I are offering this year is a free workshop with me for the wives who join, specifically focused on your sexual intimacy. And it's just like a little sample of the sorts of things that I'm doing in the My Delight course, which anyone who joins Abundant later will have the option to join that at a discount. So
awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And if you, so, you know, I am an affiliate with Nathan and Sarah on this Abundant course. And so if you sign up for Abundant through that link that's in the show notes, you will also get a complimentary coaching call with me, a 1-hour session. Ooh. So we can talk sex, we can talk marriage, whatever you want to talk about, you'll also have that opportunity as well. So definitely go and check out the links in the show notes. Sarah, one last question before we go, and I feel like your answer is going to be the same as mine, but I just want to know, if there is one thing that you would suggest couples work on in their marriage, what is the one thing?
Oh, this is a great question. And there is one simple thing that couples can do that only takes 60 to 90 seconds a day that will make a dramatic impact on the relationship. And that is to pray together one-on-one. Yes. From the heart. Yes. And this can feel like a cringy, awkward thing for a lot of couples, especially like Catholics who are used to our memorized prayers, mm-hmm. that have structure. But Nathan and I walk you through how to do this couple prayer in our Little Way of Marriage workshop, which is our free workshop. And we also teach it inside Abundant. But that, we've just hear over and over again, what a game changer that is for couples to just have this touch point. And we recommend you do it in the beginning of the day, like sometime before lunch. And if you don't see each other in the morning, text the prayer to each other.
Oh, I love
but
that.
This is a prayer from the heart, thanking and praising God for what you're thankful for about your husband or your wife. And then asking for God's blessing on their specific day that day. That means you have to know what's going on in their day that day, right?
Like, yeah.
For my husband, he's in an all-day meeting with his tech job today. So, you know, I'm asking God to help him with this. Yeah, so fun, right? And Nathan and I will even ask each other mid-prayer. We'll stop and be like, okay, what do you want prayer for today? I'm like, oh, I just need to get caught up with correcting homeschooling. Will you pray for that? Or whatever it is. Or help me with this one kid who's just grinding my gears.
Yeah.
And then he knows like what's going on in my day. Right.
That it's so perfect. Prayer is absolutely the one thing that you can begin working on in your marriage to make a huge difference. And I love the prayer that Sarah and Nathan teach. It's prayer plus this like communication inserted in because mm-hmm. of what Sarah was saying. You have to kind of know about what's going on in their day in order to pray for that. So it's perfect. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I loved having
you're
you
so welcome. It's always great talking with you, and God bless all your listeners as well.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.